The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Life, as hectic as it is, going in different directions, it's easy to be stressed. Yes. In fact, stress is one of the major causes of disease.
Yes, yes.
In our world, in our nation, and anxiety is a disorder that overtakes people sometimes, that overcomes them, and really is destroying a lot of lives. Being anxious, however, can be controlled. I can guarantee that. However, we have to put our trust in God. Because if not, the things of the world, the stresses of this life will overtake you. As I said, anxious, the Greek word there, it means to be stirred in your mind. Mm-hmm. Negative thoughts. In the Bible, it's very clear that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ. And I can tell you this, that when Jesus walked this earth, he controlled his thinking. Yes, he was God in the flesh. Yes. That makes it a little easier, I guess. But he was still in the flesh. And the reason that he came was so that he could experience exactly the same things that you and I experience in this life. So that he could go through all the difficulties, all the pressures, all the things that happen in a lifetime and do it without sinning. And then hanging on the cross, shedding his blood so that you and I could have eternal life. It's incredible. But not only eternal life, I want you to understand it's not just about pie in the sky and a sweet by and by.
Yes.
That's a good thing. Yes. Praise God, I get to go to heaven with the Lord. And then we get to return to this earth and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And the way things are looking, we may be here when he returns. I don't know what's going on here. But I can tell you this, he wants you to have an abundant life here today.
Yes, amen.
And what is abundance? Well, it means different things for different people. It means different things for your circumstance and your situation. But I can tell you this, it means that God wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What kind of riches does he have in glory? My goodness. It says that the streets are pure gold. It's so pure that it's you can see through it. Those are riches. Riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not riches on this earth, but riches according to his riches in glory.
Yes.
That's incredible riches. And that's how he wants to provide for your needs. Now, we get things twisted around. We think, well, you know, my needs are just real basic. Shelter, food, clothing. Yeah, but we have more needs than that.
That's right.
We have emotional needs. We have spiritual needs. We have financial needs. And they're all a part of this package that we have in Jesus Christ. In fact, I want this, I think this could kind of just kind of spill over into my message this morning. Because I want to talk to you this morning about love. And I want to talk to you this morning about relationship in marriage. How many believe we need to talk about marriage relationships?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, pretty much unanimous. Those of you who do not think so, wait for a little while and you'll believe me. Maybe you're newly married or something, or you're just going through a great time. Well, tomorrow it might be different. That's the way it is with love and marriage, right? Amen. Well, thank you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Now, you know, Valentine's Day hasn't been passed too long. How many of you guys felt like you did okay with Valentine's Day for your wife? Okay. Wow, some of you missed the mark, evidently. Huh? All right. Now listen to me. I want you to understand something, that even though we as males sometimes don't see the significance of those kind of romantic things, it's important to your wife. Now, it may not be flowers and candy. I can tell you, I have a woman that flowers and candy is not the big thing for her. Something practical is important to her. So I get her something practical. Now, you know, that's not very romantic to buy her something like a mixer or something for in the kitchen. But she's romantic, you know, that touches her. That meets her love language. And you got to know your woman, right? Amen. And you got to know your man. Amen? Okay. So it's very important that we recognize these things. This is all part of relationship in marriage, understanding each other. And we're going to talk about what it means to love one another and how important it is to have a commitment to each other. But I found this little thing that I thought you might find a little humorous. It's called Installing Husband 1.0. And it says this, Dear Tech Support, last year I upgraded from boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0 and noticed a distinct slowdown in overall system performance. Particularly in the flower and jewelry application, which operated flawlessly under boyfriend 5.0. In addition, husband 1.0 uninstalled many other valuable programs, such as Romance 9.5, Personal Attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs such as NFL 5.0, NBA 3.0, and Golf Clubs 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs. And House Cleaning 2.6 simply crashes the system. I know some of you have tried this. I've tried running Nagging 5.3 to fix these problems to no avail. What can I do? Sign desperate. Dear Desperate, first, keep in mind, boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package, while husband 1.0 is an operating system. Please enter the command HTTP. I thought you loved me, HTML, and try download Tears 6.2. And don't forget to install the Guilt 3.0 update. If that application works as designed, Husband 1.0 should then automatically run the applications Jewelry 2.0 and Flowers 3.5. But remember, overuse of the above application can cause Husband 1.0 to default to Grumpy, Silence 2.5, and Happy Hour 7.0. This is a very bad program which will download the Snoring Loudly beta. Whatever you do, do not install Mother-in-Law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of your entire system and cause it to crash. Also, do not attempt to reinstall the Boyfriend 5.0 program. These are unsupported applications and will crash Husband 1.0. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a great program. Amen?
Amen.
But it does have limited memory and cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Food 3.0 and Lingerie 7.7. Good luck. Oh, my. Yes, amen. Well, I want to start this out by talking about love is a commitment. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, this scripture is not specifically talking about love and marriage, but it's talking about love. And love is extremely important principle in the Word of God. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the one thing that Jesus taught us, that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Love is the bottom line when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, is loving other people. And let me tell you something. If you're not loving the person that you live with, your spouse, you're having a hard time loving other people. Because you should have a bond there. But I want you to know this. Love is not just a mushy feeling, a fuzzy, warm feeling inside. Love is a commitment. After 37 years in marriage, which is coming up right away for us in March, I can tell you I don't always feel love toward that woman sitting right there. And she doesn't always feel love toward me. Amen? Come on. You look at me like, well, shame on you, Pastor. I am human. And I don't always have those warm feelings. Sometimes I have nasty feelings toward her. You guys are just saints. You don't feel that way. Come on now. But I do love her. And I am committed to her, regardless of how I feel. If you base your relationship with somebody on feelings, whether it's marriage or whatever it is, you're going to be in big trouble. Because there's going to be times Pastor Rob is going to make you mad. I'm going to say something that's going to offend you. And if you don't truly have that love that the Bible is talking about, the agape, the God kind of love, it's not emotion, it's commitment, regardless of what's going on. If you don't have that, you'll get up, you'll leave this place, and you'll not come back. I'm human, I make mistakes, and sometimes it's not a mistake. I just tell you the way it is. And when you hear the Word of God, sometimes the Word cuts. It's very clear that it will cut. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you have things in your life that need to be cut out, you're going to hear it from this pulpit. And when you hear it, you have one of two ways you can respond. I am committed to this church and the things of God, and I'm going to get this out of my life. Or you can be offended and walk away. It happens all the time. I don't intentionally try to offend anybody. I love you. I love this congregation. I have a wonderful congregation. You guys are incredible. Praise God. I don't want to run anybody off. But what I do want is to see the body of Christ grow. I want you to be equipped according to what the Word of God says. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. If all you ever get when you come in here is a nice message that warms you up and makes you feel good all the time, there's something wrong. Because the Word of God is supposed to set you on the proper course. And that means sometimes you have to be altered from the course that you're on. And the only way you can do that is to confront it. Hallelujah. That's what brothers and sisters are all about. We're supposed to have the kind of relationship where we can deal with each other in such a way that we see somebody straying, we can go to them and talk to them and say, listen, that's not the right way. Get back over here. I'm not saying you condemn them. You just help them. We're supposed to be helping and encouraging one another. It's commitment. The whole body of Christ is supposed to be committed to one another. And I know some people act like they need to be committed, but that's not what we're talking about. Commitment to each other. Every couple who has ever come to me and asked for me to marry them, I always ask them, why do you think you should be married at this time? And they always say, because we're in love. Many times they have more in-depth reasons for it, but that's the driving force, because we are in love. And that's the way it should be. I hope that most people are smart enough to marry somebody that they feel like they love and they have those emotions toward them. But they have to go beyond that and recognize that the marriage vows is a commitment to one another to stand firm together. What happens to 50% of the marriages in our society? They're falling apart. And I believe it's because we're not following the commitment that God has for us. Now listen, I don't want to condemn anybody in here. I know that many of you, you've had divorces and you've gone through divorce. I'm not condemning that. I believe, whatever happened, happened. But what I'm trying to do is deal with marriages that are happening right now and marriages that will happen in the future so that we can be firm and strong, so that the body of Christ is stable. Listen, the enemy wants to destroy families. And the way he destroys families is by dividing those families. And when he can divide a family, he destroys part of the body of Christ. Because there's lots of pain. God hates divorce. He doesn't hate people. He hates divorce. He hates divorce because there's so much pain that is associated with it. It destroys people. So when I ask people if why they want to get married, and they say because we love each other, that's a good start. It is. I'm glad that the people don't come to me and say, well, we argue all the time, so we thought we might as well just get married. That's crazy thinking. But sometimes I wonder. One woman said that her husband's idea of romance was dinner at McDonald's, and afterwards he would belch the Barney song to her. What a crazy man. This is a man that does not understand the needs of his wife. But according to national divorce rate, there's a lot of men that don't understand the needs of their wife. If they did, things would be different. And that's why I think the churches need to be talking about this. They need to be encouraging people. Listen, let's sit down together and be committed to one another. Recognize there are going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Things that are going to arise. You're going to have children issues. You're going to have financial issues. You're going to have all kinds of things. And the only way that you're going to be able to get through that is, first of all, have Christ as your personal Savior. That's the most important thing. And be totally committed to one another. Amen? All right, so commitment. That was the first thing. Love is a commitment. Number two, I want to talk about Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I apologize for not having an outline this morning for our media team. We normally do have that, but I just had a pretty hectic week this week and wasn't able to keep up with everything. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, you get a lot of negative response when you read that scripture these days in our society, because we don't understand what the Word of God is saying. Yes, wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to submit to their wives. If you go back at just one verse there, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He wasn't just talking about one-sided commitment. He was talking about an absolute submission to one another under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And yes, I believe God established the man as the head of the household for one purpose: to take on the responsibility of that household. And that means decisions that are made in that household, God holds the male responsible. And you're to work together to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish in His kingdom. Submission is a man and woman thing. Submitting to one another as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not get hung up on submission. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Loving your spouse, committing to doing and being everything you can be for that person. My friend Keith Wasserman says that love is a verb. It's an action word. The word here that is being used is agape, agapeo, and it means to show love, to demonstrate love, to take pleasure in, to love based on its regarded value. So it is an action. It is showing the other person that you love them. And whatever that means in their life, there are different times, ways of showing love. And there are different languages that speak love into individuals' lives. And it's important that we're able to discern what is best for that other person, what speaks love into their life. What is love all about? And that goes for the body of Christ in our relationships. In every part of the body, we're to be able to discern what is the kind of love that I need to speak to others. Now, when it comes to love and romance in our marriage, we need to work at it. Amen? It's something that we need to think about. In this scripture, husbands are encouraged to show love like Christ showed love for the church. And what did Jesus do? He died for the church. He gave up everything. That means you're going to sacrifice everything. And that's not just one-sided. Wife, it's calling you to do the same. Sacrifice for your spouse. Respect your husband, the Word of God says. Profound reverence, almost to the point of worship. Almost, I said. You're not to worship anyone except Jesus. But it's a profound respect for that person. Now, some of you would say, well, my husband doesn't deserve that kind of respect. It doesn't ask you whether he deserves it or not. It doesn't ask you, husband, whether your wife deserves you to treat her the way Jesus treated the church. Right. It says to do it. Now, we have a problem in this, in our nation, with commands. When somebody commands us to do something, it ruffles our feathers, doesn't it? I got to admit, I'm a little bit rebellious. I'm on the rebellious side of things. And sometimes I have to pay for it. I don't like the fact that they tell me that I have to drive 55, speed limit. But right now, I have a $139 ticket that I have to pay because of that. That's the consequences of rebellion. Not a good thing, is it? I'm paying. And my wife, when I told her, she said, no comment. Because that was a good response at the time. Excellent response. She's told me time and time again. Now, as far as following rules, you won't find a person that follows rules better than my wife, Tammy. If they say it's supposed to be this way, then she's going to follow that rule. So, You know, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful trait. I just can't live that way. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you got one of the, I see my brother here. He's backing me up. Hallelujah. All right. Here's what we need to understand. Love is a commitment, but romance really does stimulate love. It drives love. It's a reward for the toil of love. How many know that family is a toil sometimes? It's difficult. So romance built into a marriage, it stimulates that marriage. It helps us to understand that there's a purpose for all the toil. Now, you can be romantic without love because the world is doing that all the time. But love without romance will die. And a marriage without romance will eventually turn into a house divided. And Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. Right. You know, when I find young people that are committed to one another and they'll make sacrifice. I want to encourage that. And I think we have a lot of people in this congregation that understand what it means to make a sacrifice for their spouse. But recently, this young man doesn't even go to church here. Greg Lloyd is his name. But recently, we have a basketball night down at Chester on Friday nights. And he loves to play basketball. And he wanted to come Friday night and play basketball. But he had two sick kids at home, and his wife wasn't sick, but she told him, you know, just go ahead and go play. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave you with these two sick kids. I'm going to stay here. That was a sacrifice for him. It might have been a minor sacrifice in some of your minds, but to him, it was a big deal. He made a sacrifice. Those are the kind of sacrifices that we have to make on a regular basis if we're going to continue to encourage that love feeling in one another's lives. You have to be willing to sacrifice. And sometimes it's painful. Many people in the body of Christ are not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to sacrifice for the church. They're not willing to sacrifice for their spouse. They're not willing to sacrifice for the kingdom. They're not willing to sacrifice for Jesus. I question your commitment to Jesus Christ if you can't make some sacrifice in your life. Socrates, he was a great philosopher. He said, by all means marry. If you get a good wife, you will be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. I guess he had a bad wife, huh? We are basically selfish, self-centered people. We really need to recognize that. That's just the way we're built. So we have to overcome that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The scripture definition of love, I believe, is wrapped up in one line in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not seek its own. That is such a good line. Love doesn't seek its own. So, number one, love is a commitment. Number two, romance keeps love alive in a marriage. And number three, what goes around comes around. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7 through 10. What's the weather like out there, folks?
Mike was just out there checking. It's starting to ice up on top of the vehicle and post.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up then real quick. Get everybody out of here. I really don't want there to be any issues. But basically, this scripture, Galatians 6, 7 through 10, is talking about sowing and reaping. What goes around comes around. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. When you sow into somebody's life, you're going to reap. So even when you do not feel emotions of love toward that other person, toward your spouse, then it is time for you to continue to sow good things into their life. If you sow, you will reap. The Word of God is absolutely clear about that. Paul teaches this principle, and this principle is an excellent principle. It's a principle that we need to catch hold of. It's not, now a lot of people teach this about finances, and it's a good principle in regards to finances. But it covers the whole gamut of relationships, everything in our life, sowing and reaping. When I sow good things into this church, I reap good things back from this church. Amen? When I sow financially, I reap financially. When I sow emotionally, I reap emotionally. It comes back. Now, Willard Harley Jr., Willard F. Harley Jr., has written a book, His Needs, Her Needs. And he compares this to how important it is to a bank deposit in your spouse's life. If you have enough deposits in their life, when you make a small withdrawal, it's not such a big deal. But let me tell you something. If you deplete that bank account, even a small withdrawal can be a big deal. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I put $500 in Farmers Bank and I write a check for $600 tomorrow, what's going to happen to that check? It's going to bounce. If I write a check for $501, what's going to happen? It's going to bounce. It's a small infraction, but it's enough to make it bounce all over the county. Amen? The same thing happens in our relationships. Unless we're making proper deposits into the relationship with our wife, our husband, that we will deplete that account by a small infraction. Well, you didn't take the trash out. Well, you didn't fix me breakfast. And before you know it, the whole place blows up over something very minor. Those kind of things do not happen when you make the kind of deposits into each other's life that causes your account to be full. Keep that account full. Amen. That's sowing and reaping. Keeping it full. All right. Because of the weather, I'm going to wrap it up. I have some other really good things to share with you this morning, but all right. Everyone, just please stand with me. I am going to share this story with you real quick. I've used this before, but it's an excellent, excellent story because it's a true story. There was a man by the name of Lieutenant John Blanchard. He was stationed in Florida during World War II. And while he was waiting to be deported, he went to the library and he found a book. And as he was reading through this book, he saw some feminine handwriting that was in the book. And he noticed the tenderness and the kindness of this person. And he went and he looked at the card to see that this lady's name was Hollis Maynard. And he found where she lived. And he got a hold of her. And the problem was, they kind of made a connection right from the beginning. And the problem was he was going to be shipped overseas the next day. So they started a relationship with writing letters to one another. And for 13 months, they wrote these letters back and forth. And they began to realize that they were soulmates. But they had never met each other. At one point, he decided that he wanted a picture of her. And she said, no, if you really love me, you don't need to see what I look like. So they decided that they were going to meet in Grand Central Station on a certain date, 7 p.m. She would know him because he would be in uniform. He would know her because she was carrying a rose. This is the account of what happened. See if I can find it for you. Yeah. I thought I had it. I've read it enough that I can just tell you what happened. As he got off the train, he was walking through the crowded Grand Central Station, and he saw this lady coming toward him, dressed in green, beautiful, beautiful green eyes. And as she passed, she smiled at him. And he said it was as if she was saying, "Are you going my way, soldier?" And he couldn't take his eyes off from her. But she wasn't carrying a rose. And he turned around and he saw a lady coming toward him. She was middle-aged, kind of frumpy. Her thick ankles were stuffed in small tennis shoes. Her hair was kind of a mess, but she was carrying a rose. And he thought to himself, man, he wanted to chase after the lady in green. But he said, "No, I've made a commitment. This may not be a person I'm marrying, but she's my friend, and I'm going to follow through." So the lady with the rose, he walked up to her, and he introduced himself, and he said, "I'm Lieutenant Blanchard. Would you like to go to dinner with me?" And she said, "Young man, I don't know what this is all about, but that you see that young lady in green? She told me to carry this rose, and if you ask me to dinner, that I was supposed to tell you that she would be waiting for you across the street." It's a love story.
Yeah.
And it's a true story. But it's about commitment.
That's right.
To one another.
Amen. Amen.
Being committed.
Amen.
He was willing to follow through with his commitment. What a great story for us in
yes.
our marriages.
It is.
Be committed to one another. Let's have a word. Father God, I just thank you this morning. We recognize the weather is changing rapidly outside, and we just ask for your direction and your strength, Lord, to be able to continue through this life. And we ask for your protection as everyone leaves, heads home this morning, Lord, that you would touch them, you would keep them. We ask for great protection for each and every person in here. And Father, as we go through this week, we just ask that your name would be lifted up and glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have a great week. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.